And what about labor law reform to give labor an even break in the organization drives, which are so essential on a very selfish basis, to equalize the competition between the state of New York and other states? I've got a situation right now where one of the great manufacturing entities of the United States is considering coming into this state in a major location. And what do you think's giving them trouble and keeping them out? The labor climate. The fact that they realize that here, while workmen are highly skilled and very able, they're going to have to deal with collective bargaining, whereas there are still far too many areas in the country where you still can bargain with the individual worker to his great disadvantage. And national health insurance, one of the greatest complaints of our people, where the cards are stacked against them, and yet where we are within sight, if we can get the necessary support on the Congress, of a national health insurance plan that will fully respect the private sector. Indeed, the plans that I have always worked on and do today are heavily based, are exclusively on the private sector and upon labor management plans, which are the way to take tens of millions out of a government plan, and upon the preventive medicine, which is the way to cut down costs so that people don't go to the hospital and don't get sick as often. You'd be amazed at how few people have that annual checkup or semi-annual checkup that can catch something before it gets very serious. And then even unemployment itself. In our state, as you all know, there's an 8% roughly unemployment rate. In Buffalo, for example, it's 10%, 50,000 in Buffalo alone. Well, these 500,000, what are they to look forward to? The deduction of what they get out of pensions from their unemployment check? That's what's happening right now because of the so-called new conservatism in the Congress of the United States. We can beat it. We're within an ace of beating it. But you're not going to beat it with the kind of ultra-conservative that's running against me in the Republican primary. Now, those are bread and butter issues. There are many things that government needs to do because the public won't do it for itself or won't do it nearly as well. There are many things that government doesn't need to do. That's the way to really effectively cut budgets. For example, the whole daycare business ought to be transferred over to business. Now, that's where it belongs. That's where it's done in the industrial countries of the world. The whole job of training youth for a beginning job in the economy ought to be transferred over to business. There are many functions which will remove huge chunks of money from the federal budget which can be handled that way, and that's but one way. Welfare ought to be reformed so that it's national and not local, and thereby to have a decent standard for people everywhere. This is, again, a critical matter that I have been deeply committed to and worked on for many, many years. I've mentioned but a few. There's education, where people's children go to college, and where we're just about to approve a higher education bill. It'll be done, indeed, tomorrow. Indeed, I have to go to Washington for it, because I'm one of its architects, which will make life very much easier for the parents of those children due to the greater facility in borrowing and the fact that the interest payment will be suspended while the young person goes to college instead of being taxed upon him, which is the idea of these very conservatives that I've discussed while he's going to college. In the field, for example, of the education of poor children, disadvantaged children, New York now gets a few hundred million dollars a year out of actions which I have initiated, which give special grants where there are heavy concentrations of very poor children. And then the bucking up of our municipal hospitals, which are in such terrible shape and which it is essential to save. And again, I'm in a key position. I have done it, and I'll continue to do it, I believe, with very much more effect if returned. I mention those things because these are the elements of why labor should rally and defend its defender at this particular time. And I'm delighted that New Jersey experience has been mentioned. And in my mind, from the beginning, that's why I've gotten out here and fought early, the minute that I decided that I was going to run. I'm very conscious of that experience, and I will certainly not be guilty of not giving it everything I've got, which I'm going. That is what my friends in labor have to do also. Well, you know, I've been to many of these meetings. I've run a lot of times, and I know exactly what they're like. You can walk out of there and forget it, or you can walk out of there and do a job. And it's a rare situation where your doing a job can be decisive. Because if 400,000 or 500,000 votes are cast in the primary, and half the enrolled Republicans among labor go out and vote, you can go home and forget it. One. It's just that simple. You just look at the figures in the morning paper, and you'll see that it's that simple. I am ahead. I will stay ahead. The question is, what will happen on primary day? Will my people come out and vote? And you're going to decide that. If I'm licked in this primary, you've been licked in this primary. Let me say that again, so you hear it. The primary is on September 9th. I'm defeated in this primary, it is you who will be defeated. I haven't got nearly as long to live as all of your members, young, vigorous people, who need the right spin on the ball in these next few very, very critical years, when the problems are so awe-inspiring and difficult, and when a waning hope of conservatism, which is really reaction, is allegedly sweeping our country. I've been tried and true. I've been there a long time. I know the business. I have very high seniority. I really can deliver. So just bear that in mind. It's not I alone who's running for re-election and for the Republican nomination. It is you. You're running too, just as much as I am. And it's not too many who are accustomed to coming out to work for a Republican in this room. And you wouldn't do it unless I have done what I have done as far as you're concerned. And unless you are convinced that I have it in me, and I do, to do even more tomorrow, along these very practical bread and butter lines, which I've just described to you. If we can win this, just remember, my friends, much as I thank you, the bottom of my heart, the Tom, and Al, the Labor Committee, the Monty for his fine words, and the Ray and Howard for their great organizational support, and to every one of you for the willingness to cooperate. But it's beyond cooperation now. We're in this together. We can win it, but we can only win it if you really have purpose. And at waving your eye, you go out and marshal those members who are enrolled Republicans and tell each of them personally, or in that minute, you can tell each of them personally, look, whatever you've done before, just remember, this time it's our election, not just Jackson's. And then I'm confident of the result. Thank you all.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming
We have just had a meeting, breakfast meeting downstairs of my labor committee, which is headed by Tom Hobart of the teachers and Al Provenzano. What's his union, Gene? The which? TWU. Under the general auspices of Ray Corbett and Howard Malazani, the principal officials of the State Labor Federation. And I have made a strong appeal, not just for their support, but for the personal intercession by the members of my committee with individual union members, pointing out that at 200,000, roughly 10% of the enrolled Republicans in the state, they can be decisive if at least 50% of their members came out and voted in the primary, and that my defeat would be their defeat, because certainly as between my opponent and myself, in terms of the working men and women of our country and of our state, they have a great record with me, and they can see for themselves that they won't do very well with my opponent, even if he should be elected, which would mean both the primary and the general election. So pretty high hurdles, but nonetheless, a possibility which they must envisage. So that is the situation. President of the AFL-CIO in the state is coming up, I understand, and I'd like him to say a word to you, and then I will take on any questions that you may have. All right. Can we just suspend a moment then until they come? Best described, gentlemen, to the press and the media, our proceedings downstairs, and given a little summary of my appeal to my labor committee represent the decisive difference in this primary, which it can do, by contacting every individual trade union member who is an enrolled Republican. I take great satisfaction from your support, deeply appreciate it, and can assure you that the individual concerns of the individual working man and woman will be my concern, as they have been in all the years I've been in the House and Senate, and I consider any reverse to me a reverse to you in terms of your membership. So. In my judgment, is my own political life identified with the political life and outlook for the working men and women of this state. And now, Ray, if you would be kind enough to say a word.
Thank you, Senator. Of course, our purpose here this morning was the Labor Committee of our state organization, in support of Senator Javits' re-election, had called a meeting of where there were some 50 or 60 of the top labor leadership in this state. We recognize that of necessity to this state and to this nation, the re-election of Senator Javits is paramount. We are calling out all our resources to assure that re-election of Senator Javits. Now, usually, generally, we don't get mixed up in primaries. We'd rather not. We leave that to the political parties, but in this case, we believe that a great injustice has been done the great senator from New York in opposing him by Republican conservatives opposing him for re-election. This is something that we, as a labor movement, recognizing the talents, the experience, and certainly all the good that has come from his senatorship in this state must not go down the drain. It must continue for all the people of this state and nation. I want to call now on, we have with us the chairman of the Labor Committee, Representative Tom Hobart of the Teachers Federation. And we have with us Al Provenzano, who serves as secretary of the Javits Campaign Labor Committee, Al Provenzano of the Transport Workers Union. So, Tom, if you will.
Thank you, Ray. We know that in this state there's over 200,000 laborers who belong to our organization that are registered Republicans, and we think that that's going to make the difference in this primary election. Through the AFL-CIO and the Teamsters and the auto workers, we will make sure that each one of those registered Republicans are called at least once before our primary day. We've asked each local president to contact all of their members, and particularly those registered members those members who are registered Republicans in the state. So when President Corbett talks about using all of our resources, we've done it not only from the great AFL-CIO in the state, but down through each local union to ensure, first of all, that the message has gotten out to every laborer who's a registered Republican. And our reconnaissance tells us that when we're making those calls, very few had to be reminded of the great service of the senator to the labor movement, and then to ensure that we remind them again just before primary day so that each one of our members who is a registered Republican shows up at the polls. Senator certainly has a very large constituency other than labor because of his great work in foreign relations and the economy in this country, and we think that with the efforts of the Labor Committee, that's going to be enough to make this a outstanding victory for the senator 1 week from now. And now a great pleasure to call upon the Secretary of the Labor Committee, the one who has put together the whole operation, Al Provenzano. Al.
Our feeling as we go throughout the state is that Senator Javits and labor are synonymous. Conscience, the morality, this is the man that is not only for labor, while we feel that he's one of our own, it's just a disaster if he was to fail to return to the legislature in January. As we go throughout the state, the feeling is not only the label of the AFL-CIO, but everyone on the peripheral, on the sideline, feels, and we're getting such beautiful vibes as we go throughout the state, that Senator Javits truly represents all of the people in the state of New York. We will endeavor for the next 5-6 days to go throughout the state, giving the message, pushing, working, because it would be an obscenity that the opponent, just looking at the commercials that his opponent has put on TV, it would be an obscenity to the people of the state of New York and this nation, because what we would be losing if we ever lost Senator Javits, foreign policy, his labor record, and the everyday workings in the Congress. We're sure with the work of this labor committee and all the affiliates, locals, and the leadership of the state COPE, that we're almost feel sure that Senator Javits will return to the Congress on January 1st. But we're not taking any chances. We're working as we're just missing out by one vote. And I think that's the way we're going to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Howard, would you care to say a word?
Howard Malasani, the Secretary Treasurer of the New York State AFL-CIO. It's rather unusual for me to be here to make this kind of a pitch, but I make a pitch because of all of the facts that were cited to you by Ray Corbett, Tom Hobart, and Al Provenzano, but also to inform you that the COPE operation of the state of New York has embraced this campaign as a major campaign for the benefit of the people of the state of New York, we're not being strictly provincial in saying that Javits is a Labor candidate. We're thinking in terms of Javits as the New York State candidate who has well represented the people of the state of New York. We recognize the forces that are out to undermine him. We recognize the conservatives. We recognize the single issue candidates who have espoused the conservative candidate. We are not speaking in terms of any other candidate, but in terms of a candidate who, whether it is labor reform, or it is occupational safety, or it is any of the other matters which we think are of maximum importance for the workers of America, we know that Senator Javits has proven and has stood firm and fast for the workers and for the best interests of America generally. So we have no particular problem. We have one problem only. That is to make sure that the figure of 200,000, and incidentally, that is not a figure that we picked out of the air. That's a figure that we have taken from our computer sheets indicating the number of our members, our affiliates, who are enrolled in the Republican Party. We're just trying to make sure that those 200,000 will be out on September the 9th and will cast their votes for Senator Javits, because we know that Senator Javits represents not only for the labor movement, but for the United States, something which is great. And I'd like to talk just 2 seconds on foreign policy. I'm one of those rare individuals in the labor movement who have been involved in some measure of international politics through the trade union movements of Europe as well as our own. And I know that they look at the peculiar aberrations as reflected by the conservatives of America and wonder what's happening to these United States. So that a strong boost for Senator Javits would indicate that the United States still understands foreign relations and still knows how to work in the foreign relations field.
Thank you very much, Howard. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for your endorsements, which heartened me enormously. Yes, ma'am.
Could you comment on the poll and on the narrowing of that gap between you and your challenger?
Yes, I'm not a bit surprised, because I said originally that a challenge to me in the Republican Party is a serious challenge, which I take very seriously. Not too many agreed with me at that time, but they agree with me now. To me, I think I'm doing very well indeed, considering what I know about the juxtaposition of forces which would change the Republican Party of Nelson Rockefeller and Tom Dewey and Louis Lefkowitz and myself into some kind of a conservative, ultra-conservative entity represented by maybe 10 or 12 senators on the Republican side of the Senate, and which is completely unrepresentative of the people of this state, whom I've represented for so long and I feel so creditably. And I really think that it's the salvation of my party, which is at stake, and which could easily go over into being an anachronism, not an alternative to the Democrats as one of the two great parties in our state if it adopts this ultra-conservative stance so untypical of the people of our state.
Senator, could we go one step further? This is about you and Governor Reagan. I'm not quite clear what the level of your support is if you should
listen. Sure, Mickey, I'll be happy to tell you. I will vote for Governor Reagan. I've already said that. As to the extent to which I may or may not be able to campaign for him, remember that is up to him too, if I'm denied the Republican nomination. That's what I had in mind. I didn't have in mind any qualifications. I made up my mind, and I said why. My labor friends, of course, as you know, don't agree with me at all on that. But that doesn't separate us on the issue of my being the kind of a senator who's good for working people. So I hope that answers it categorically. That's exactly what I said and exactly what I meant, and I should have in the debate before your paper, finished the sentence and said, I will vote for it, which I do, and I did yesterday. in the press conference. Anything else?
I
said I will vote for him. I cannot say how and to what extent until I see what the primary does. As I said a minute ago, he may not like it either if I'm not nominated by the Republicans. I don't know. Anything else? Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, very much. Sure.
He took enormous satisfaction from his cooperation with her and also from his independence. My own word to the president of the corporation and to the publisher and editor is perhaps a little bit different from the other. Look that within the context of our state and nation. This is one of its great newspapers, and that's great tribute to the community in which it functions. Without a community, there is no newspaper. Because this newspaper, and people like Alicia might easily have fallen for the fact of making a successful paper, others like her have, without regard to its content, its message, or its mission. But she didn't. And instead of the usual grist of the tabloid, you had here serious investigative reporting and the coverage of national and international news, as well as local events, which makes it for me and other public officials a real Bible for this area, and indeed for our whole state, and very often expressing views in the nation, which are of enormous importance to us all. And also, I'd like to congratulate you, Dave, and Don Wright, and Anthony and Sylvia for the clean look and the innovative layout of this paper. That's what got you in the best dressed tent, and that's a very, very distinguished honor. And I might say finally that you not only look back 40 years, you look ahead 40 years. Just think of that little note at the bottom of that first edition, which said, "Will blank gain or lose in the county?" That's today's newspaper. A seal of the United States Senate for the occasion. And it reads, "Newsday, Inc., 40 years of outstanding service," and presented by me, September 3, 1980.
Thank you, Senator, and I'd like to thank all of the people who gave us these awards, and also for your kind words and thoughtful ones. We'll certainly listen to what was said, and I'm really kind of overwhelmed by all these citations and proclamations. It's really very, very nice. We're probably going to have to build another new building to fit them all on the wall. Thank you.
Your host this afternoon, I have one last duty, and that is to read a citation from the governor of the state of New York, which reads, "The greatest yardstick of performance for any major news organization is the way that organization meets the needs and addresses the problems of its coverage area. For four decades, the residents of Long Island and the readers of Newsday have benefited from the continuing leadership, professionalism, and dedication of the Newsday staff. As Long Island's leading newspaper, Newsday has developed its own unique identity and has, moreover, helped develop a cohesiveness among the island's communities and a sense of the island's identity as a whole. Newsday's excellence is particularly demonstrated by the innovative and comprehensive thinking evident in the Long Island at the Crossroads series published in 1978. It is with great pleasure that I join with the business community, industrialists, and residents of Long Island in wishing the men and women of Newsday the happiest of 40th anniversaries, and do hereby cite Newsday for its extraordinary contributions to the Long Island community in the state of New York. Signed, Hugh L. Carey, Governor. In winding up, I would just like to say to David and Don that when you hear such high praise from so many public officials, you're in bad trouble. I would also like to say that having performed in all 50 states and around the world, I can say that the single nastiest reviews I've ever gotten have been from Newsday. And thus I have complete credibility in saying that to be a great area, you need a great newspaper, and Newsday is indeed that. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today.
I've asked to get an interview with him. I may not be able to do it today.